Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
20.
Here's John Williams.
Is the rating on a scale of 1 to 23 jujubes that I give the movie A Quiet Place. Told Steve Bertrand before the news.
Lord have mercy.
I'd have my rating of A Quiet Place. We saw it last night. What a movie. Yep, that's what it was. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. This is John Williams. It's 109 on WGN. Elif Garris is our producer. Griffin Filipich produces for us on Saturdays. We're here weekdays 1 to 3 and 10 a.m. until 12 noon on Saturdays. And on all social media, I'm WGN King John. We just posted a riddle, by the way. There's a card with a 5 on the one side and a letter E on the other side, and the rule about the cards is that there has to be a this, then what is the that? We've got one of those sort of things that you'll either love or it'll give you a headache and don't do it. But we posted a little brain teaser to take your mind off the weather on my Facebook page just moments ago. We will, at this time tomorrow, post the answer. But if you want to just prove to yourself how smart you are, 10% of respondents get this very simple, simple riddle right. It's tricky. 10% of the people get it right. It's on my Facebook page.
That means 90 get it wrong.
Well, that's another way to look at it, but that doesn't get you any bonus points. You have to get the riddle right, not that little mathematic thing you did there. Okay, so one last thing about The Quiet Place, which I liken a little bit to Shape of Water. When I saw the trailers for A Quiet Place, I thought, this is preposterous, a world in which if you make a sound, the monsters will come and eat you. Are you kidding me? They're walking around with their socks on, playing Monopoly on the carpet so the dice don't make any noise, stuff like that. Are you kidding me? This is stupid. You either get on board or you don't, right? Like The Shape of Water. There's this fish, right? You're either on board or you're not. But if you buy in, if you go, okay, I'm there. This is a fictional movie. It's about these sort of alien spider people with the heads of the creatures from the movie Alien who have really good hearing. And they're out to get us. Just go with it. It's a really good movie. On a scale of 1 to 23 jujubes, I'm giving it a 20. But the more I think about it, the more holes there are in this plot. And I'll just give you one. And I'm not sharing anything that isn't in the trailer to the movie. So you know this is there. In a world where the bad creatures don't see, don't smell, don't they just hear? But dang, they got some good hearing, right? So you can't make any sound. It's a silent movie. It's 90 minutes. There's maybe 50 spoken words in the whole thing. If you eat popcorn in this movie, it'll be very conspicuous. If you open up a package of M&Ms, people go, shh, shh, the monsters will come.
Wait, did you just say there are only 50 words in the movie?
Tops.
Really?
You know, maybe 100. I mean, it's...
They can't talk.
They can't talk, Steve, or the monsters will get them.
I know, but I mean, I thought there could have been some other flashback scenes or forward, you know.
Well, that's a funny thing you mentioned, because so the movie begins on day 89 of this new apocalyptic world. Somehow the creatures are out there and everybody's got eaten up except for this family in a farm field, whatever. And then they cut to later in the movie, like day 474. So we're over a year in.
Wow. They made it far.
And now, yeah, they're doing great. In fact, they're really clever, super smart people. You know, I love the movies where, like the mission to like Mars, you know, where it's like, okay, how are you going to survive? Well, we're just going to be smarter than the elements. So this is them. They figured out tricks and things like that.
Yeah, but if you don't know the trick, it's like one mess up and you're done.
Oh, totally. It's like if you drop a cup, the monster gets you.
And you know when you're trying to be quiet, that's when you like run into your dresser?
Well, so step on a nail, that sort of thing. So here's the thing. She gets pregnant. John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, real life husband and wife, who are husband and wife on this and are really loving and smart and you're really rooting for them and you know actually they can figure this out. She gets pregnant. She gets pregnant in the movie.
That's the one time, like, really not to get pregnant.
They raid an occasional drugstore. They sneak over to the drugstore and steal, like, aspirin and stuff. A couple of condoms would have killed them. I mean, literally, you guys, if you are still going to be having sex in this post-apocalyptic spider people world, use condoms, use birth control. But they didn't. Well, now they're going to have a baby. she's going to have the baby in the bathtub. And the monster, I'll tell you what, if she goes, whoa, that one hurt, or if the baby says anything, they're toast. So I'm thinking, okay, how about if at least as a premise to the movie, she's pregnant when the monsters take over the world, right? Because then they'd say, well, they didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I give you that. But if if after the monsters are out there with the big ears, and you know, and you come on to your wife and go, hey, listen, the kids are asleep upstairs. What do you say? She'll go, no, no.
Well, she won't scream it, but she'll be thinking it.
See, we cannot be having sex, Jack. If we have a baby, we're all, we're done. We're toast.
Wait, how do they have the baby?
No, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you what happens in that scene. It's towards the end of the movie. And towards the end of the movie, things go really badly for them. But it's a good film. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. But so many holes in the plot, like I've described, or the logic of the dang thing, some people aren't entirely on board. I think Michael Phillips only gave it 2.5 stars. We went to the Cubs game on Saturday, had 4 tickets to that dang thing. I just want to second what Tracy Butler has said about the weather. Tracy Butler over at Channel 7 has 224 likes, including mine of her tweet today. Let's have a show of hands, she wrote. Who thinks this has been one of the most miserable weekends ever? My hands up. That was terrible. That was a bad weekend. And I had tickets to the most amazing Cubs game ever.
It was almost unifying because if you were out, I went out grocery shopping and things like that yesterday, brought us all closer together.
I feel you, Steve. I mean, when you get a super huge snowstorm and everybody's out shoveling and pushing cars out of the ditch, nobody wants that, but it does unify us. We didn't have that, but we had a very shared experience on Saturday and Sunday, and that was we don't deserve this.
I know someone who just got married on Saturday.
Oh,
because she wanted a spring wedding. It was miserable.
That's what I'm talking about. You want your money back. Who can I sue? So we left the game in the third inning. You know, just for the record, here's how logical that was. Chicago scored 9 times in the 8th inning on just 3 hits. They beat Atlanta 14-10. I'm reading from the USA Today. The Cubs trailed 9-1 in the third. That's when I looked at my brother. My brother looks at me. He goes, all right, let's go. And I was like, yes. I said, the games are televised. So we leave in the third. Cubs are down 9-1. They were still down 10-2 in the sixth. And then you know what happens. It went into the 8th inning. They were behind 10-5. Chicago then used, and here's how they did it, 5 walks. 2 hit batters, an error, and a wild pitch to come back against 4 Atlanta relievers.
And the Contreras hit was a swinging bunt that only went about 20 feet.
Right. And I think that...
So the Shays called it a hit to the catcher.
That's about right. I mean, really, there was only one hard hit ball in that inning. All 9 runs scored after there were 2 outs. They played the whole thing in a sideways rain. So today, weather conditions much better. Kevin, they're not playing today.
It's been postponed. July 21st is the makeup date. That'll be a doubleheader.
Does this feel to you like MLB going, okay, our bad?
Sort of. I think nobody wants to go through what they went through Saturday.
But this would be better than Saturday. This is an upgrade.
It'll be dry tonight, so that's the biggest upgrade. But it's still, with wind chills in the mid-20s, it's not ideal baseball conditions. So, yeah, I think after everyone went through that on Saturday, they're like, you know what? This probably isn't a great idea to be playing baseball.
You know how referees will sometimes get a call that they know is wrong, the crowd tells them the next time down the floor.
You get a cheap one.
Going the other way. Yeah. I think this is a make-good.
It makes sense. It's tough. The White Sox haven't played since Thursday because Minnesota thought it was a good idea to build an open-air ballpark in Minneapolis. So they haven't played since Thursday night.
How could they have done that? I mean,
John, do you have a reason for that?
Yeah, idea. But I mean, Milwaukee put a retractable. How could they have not put a retractable roof?
There's 2 reasons. One was the money. I mean, here we go again in Minnesota. Trust me, every city has this conversation, but they had it 4 times in about 15 years. That is, so why are we building a billion-dollar stadium for billionaires? The taxpayers just We're trying to be frugal, number one. Number two, it's wedged in between the highway and Target Center where the Timberwolves play. What a game that was last night. Timberwolves against Houston in Houston. But anyway, wasn't it nice to see Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler have such a good game? Anyway, so my understanding is that the footprint for a roof stadium or a retractable roof stadium is bigger than they had may have had space. But ultimately, I think it's this. Here's why the Twins play in an open-air stadium, because Minnesotans are too proud. It's that passive-aggressive, well, we're fine then, eh? We don't need no roof. You might down there, but we're good.
Oh, we'll just layer up. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be 40. So they wouldn't do it. The year that stadium opened, and it's one of the finest venues in America for any
Yeah, I hear
French.
Nothing but good things.
It's all good. Sightlines, the cityscape in the background, the food. It's just it's the way to do it. The first year they opened up, the weather was warm that spring, and they thought they had it licked.
See, we told you. It's
little,
fine up here.
A little global warming, we're good to go. They have this month 14 inches of snow on that field.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep.
But Madden is right. I mean, I like how Joe said, all right, did you like how we didn't give up in that eighth inning? You guys just stood there. Two of you got plunked, five of you got walked, and one of you should have been thrown out. Maybe two of you. I mean, they did not give up. They ran the bases hard, and they did. You know, they won the game. I'm not taking that away from them, but it was more. Atlanta was embarrassing in that eighth inning. A snowball fight broke out in one of those plays. Ball going everywhere, people running around. It was insane.
The official panic button was collectively pressed by Cubs fans on social media. And then in a matter of like an hour, they were winning. So, you know, people are, this team's horrible.
We're good.
We're done.
By the way, I know 38,000 people who say they were at that game now.
Yeah, right.
Don't you suppose that the real mistake was ever taking a reliever out of the game? Because no one could be acclimated to pitch once they were brought in that inning.
Yeah, that's
they should have just stuck with whoever was out there.
Well, my son played a little baseball, and at the beginning of the game, I turned to him and I said, what's harder, pitching or hitting? He goes, definitely harder to hit. Pitchers absolutely have the advantage. Not so much. It was so cold and so miserable by the time those relievers got out of there. And not that they're warming up in 20 degrees. Maybe it's the shock, but I'm telling you, those pitchers could not. Those are professional pitchers.
Yeah, I'd love to get the thoughts of some of those relievers who used to be. Remember, the bullpen was just moved last year underneath. So now they're in the warm, cozy bullpen underneath the bleachers. I wonder if like how that has translated for some of these guys going from that to the open air conditions. Obviously.
Right. Maybe they should find something in between 70 degrees and 28 wind chill factor.
Right.
Warm up in 54.
Yeah, keep the AC on at all times, so they're not. They don't have to go through the shock of the winter mix.
You see a guy come out and say, "Yeah, no, I'm not."
Yeah,
right. The reliever, can I go back to the dugout?
The reliever
please?
Comes out 10 steps and then turns around and signals for another reliever.
I'm not ready.
It's like when the animals at the zoo won't come outside. Right. It's like, back it up.
Yeah, why would we go out there?
Instead of breadcrumbs, you maybe put $100 bills all the way to the mound.
Hey, Javi, come on in here. I'll pitch.
Yeah.
So the thing that made me then smile and laugh despite the weather this morning was the bumper sticker I saw heading south on Ashland to CD1 Price Cleaners. And there's a Toyota over on my right-hand side, and it says, the bumper sticker reads, proud parent of a gay dog. You just don't see that often, and we weren't even that close to Boys Town. But for whatever reason, I always read bumper stickers, proud parent of a gay dog. That's a new one for me.
Okay, I think that's a put-down. Don't you?
No, what do you mean?
That's like an anti-politically correct sort of putting down.
The LGBTQ?
Or any
dog
any,
community?
You know, proud of my kid here or there.
Oh, that's making fun of the people that put those stickers on there.
Are you sure he even had a dog?
I want you to
you
to take back your mirth.
Are taking well, thanks for blowing out my candle.
It made
kids.
Me laugh, and now I feel bad.
Thank you, thank you. I'm just going to hit this little button here in a second. By the way, Steve Bertrand's got the news in 8 minutes. We haven't forgotten about the James Comey interview. We'll be breaking that down after we come back from a quick commercial break, and then talk more about it in the next half hour.
Oh, baby!
Oh, Nelly! James Comey was on with that George Stephanopoulos guy over on ABC last night. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this early part of the interview. Comey said he was worried about preserving the truth.
You say it's a dangerous time in our country.
I think it is, and I chose those words carefully. I was worried when I chose the word dangerous first. I thought, is that an overstatement? And I don't think it is.
Why not?
I worry that the norms at the center of this country, we can fight as Americans about guns or taxes or immigration, and we always have. But what we have in common is a set of norms, most importantly, the truth. And if we lose that, if we lose tethering of our leaders to that truth, what are we?
We'll walk through some of the specifics in the interview in just a minute. Let me just play one more soundbite for you. Some of it is the logical, chronological telling of the Comey-Trump story. And then some of it is just little asides like cut two.
You didn't vote?
No.
Why not?
I'm the director of the FBI. I'm trying to be outside of politics and that I shouldn't be choosing between the candidates.
And what part of you is thinking, I helped elect Donald Trump?
A whole lot of me was thinking, oh my God, did we have some role in this?
He didn't vote. I'm sorry. This is that to me matters this way. You want proof that this guy's overthinking it? He probably misplayed the Clinton stuff twice. Yada yada. This guy overthought voting. You do not have to apologize. It's a private vote. It's a private vote.
Jim Lehrer, who often used to moderate the presidential debates,
yeah,
never voted.
I think that's grandstanding. That's just high-handedness. Go ahead, Steve. Finish your thought.
It's over. I can maybe see it if you're the FBI director, but that's sort of the sacred thing we're supposed to do.
Well, if the vote was like, okay, what, five people get to decide and you're one of them, yeah, maybe you should recuse yourself. But there's 330 million of us, and dozens of us vote.
I wish they had just had George sitting a little further from him so he would have to enunciate or you know, project more, because those cuts, he sounds like he's whispering.
I think that's okay. We'll get to all of this after the news. It's 129. This is WGN. 138. Thank you, Steve.
Come a little bit closer.
Flurries downtown Chicago.
Hear what I have to say.
Weather's so bad, tax day's been canceled. They've actually postponed tax day. They'll play it tomorrow.
Weather permitting?
Yeah, I know. And if the weather's bad tomorrow, maybe you get till Thursday to file your taxes. My son and I sat down to do an easy form yesterday, and we both got different numbers.
Do you do it online?
No, we just did
it online.
Did it in the margins of the newspaper. And I said, you do it and I'll do it and we'll see if we come up with the same number. Nope.
I don't have that brain. I was trying to do my daughter's because she, you know, works in four different states every year.
Yeah.
And I can't do it.
Can't do what?
The forms. I'm not capable. My brain, I don't have a brain.
Well, how do you do it? You mean you use TurboTax?
Yeah, it's free. You can do free if you earn under $60,000. You can go to irs.gov.
Right.
And they have several there for you to choose from. So I always do my kids free online.
Yeah. I did it old school. I printed out the forms and then sat down there with him and got out a number two pencil. And he got out a number two pencil and we went at it.
Did you do that because you didn't know you could do it online free or because you enjoy that?
Kind of busy right now, Steve. I'm not going to really take the time to answer that.
I hope it's the first one.
It's 1:39, so we're playing back some of the interview with James Comey and George Stephanopoulos. I didn't see the ratings. Did you guys? What are the ratings? Steve was talking about it this morning.
I'll see if I can find it. I heard they were big.
But... Yeah, Dean was telling Steve the numbers were gigantic. He didn't have them in front of him.
They were huge.
Well, that was early, though. I don't know.
Yeah, although I suppose Trump doesn't want this one to get the kind of viewership that maybe it did.
Well, Hollywood Reporter says it was strong, but it was no Stormy.
Really? The Stormy Daniels interview was bigger?
Average 9.8 million viewers, a 2.4 rating.
9.8 million, 2.4 rating. All right.
Well, so, what's her name? Roseanne got 16 million, right, on her first show back?
Oh, no kidding. That's right. No, I think it was 18, Steve. I think 18? Roseanne, so okay. Almost exactly half. Although Roseanne had more laughs. Okay, so here we go. This is James Comey now. And in this clip, he talks about his very first meeting with then President-elect Donald Trump. He is not president of the United States yet. I don't believe so. This is a January meeting, and this is his first meeting with Donald Trump.
I'm about to meet with a person who doesn't know me. He's just been elected president of the United States, and I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it.
What was your impression?
He had impressively coiffed hair that looks to be all his. I confess I stared at it pretty closely, and my reaction was, must take a heck of a lot of time in the morning. His tie was too long, as it always is. He looked slightly orange up close with small white half moons under his eyes, which I assume are from tanning goggles.
Yeah, he didn't do himself any favor with that kind of stuff in the book or on TV. It does not do him any favors.
I think that's just a fatal flaw. I don't get it at all.
I think you do, and I think you're right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Oh, come on, Steve. Why is he talking about that?
I think it's a huge... I think he should be smart enough to know... What, you think he just wants to indulge in ripping on him?
Mm-hmm.
He should be smarter than that.
But those are such cheap shots.
I know.
He seems classier than that.
Incidentally, I think any of us, for the first time in a room with Donald Trump, would remark on his bizarre appearance, right? The hair is famous. The eyes and the... skin color's famous. The tie is famous. I mean, there's a lot of things you would note. You would look at his hands, wouldn't you? But if you're the FBI director or former, stop it. Don't talk about that. That doesn't help you. Okay, so this is cut five. Cut four, rather. In that meeting, the president talked about what he was most concerned about.
No one, to my recollection, asked, so what's coming next from the Russians? How might we stop it? What's the future look like? It was none of that. It was all, what can we say about what they did and how it affects the election that we just had?
You said as this was happening, you had a flashback to your early days as a prosecutor.
I had a flashback to my days investigating the mafia, La Cosa Nostra.
I just got the book today. I'm going to read it. It sounds fascinating. The description of Donald Trump's leadership style as that of a mob boss makes sense. I mean, I get the point. I'm still not sure that indulging in that is all that useful, but it's his truth, and this is the way he tells it.
I felt this effort to make us all, and maybe this wasn't their intention, but it's the way it felt to me, to make us all Amica Nostra. We're all part of the messaging. We're all part of the effort. The boss is at the head of the table, and we're going to figure out together how to do this. That leadership culture constantly comes back to me when I think about my experience with the Trump administration.
Yeah, it must have felt bizarre. And that one seems to maybe make a little more sense, be a little more important if you're trying to understand Donald Trump's behavior or that of this administration, the people running your country. It is that. Everybody's sucking up to the boss. You're either with us or against us. It is that sort of Cosa Nostra, the way he described it, culture. Okay, so then, but the problem for James Comey, this guy who he's not really sure about and who he doesn't really know, he has to tell him about the Steele dossier.
Did you believe his denial?
Honestly, never thought these words would come out of my mouth, but I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible.
This is James Comey on the press conference that took place. Now, this is Comey when he holds a press conference about Hillary Clinton and the use of email, official government email on her server.
Believing the credibility of the Justice Department was at stake, he made a dramatic and unprecedented move, calling a press conference without telling his boss what he would say.
I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system.
Your critics say this is where your ego got the best of you. This was your original sin.
I actually thought, as bad as this will be for me personally, this is my obligation to protect the FBI and the Justice Department. Given all that had gone on, the Attorney General of the United States could not credibly announce this result. And if she did, it would do corrosive damage to the institutions of justice.
Comey concluded there was no criminal intent and no reason to prosecute Clinton.
So that's Comey coming out, you know, in favor of Hillary Clinton, if you will. And Clinton is up by double-digit points a few weeks out. I mean, really, some of the things that you learn or remember when you listen back to Stephanopoulos' interview are just kind of boggling. You still shake your head and go, I can't believe this. For instance, that the FBI director hosts that press conference rather than Loretta Lynch, and he said that's because Lynch was maybe a little too close to the Clintons now, and it was better if it came from the director of the FBI.
I decided it was important that I speak separately from the Attorney General.
Why not put out a one-line statement, we decline to prosecute?
If you issue a one-liner from the Obama Justice Department about the Democratic nominee for President of the United States and say we're done here, corrosive doubt creeps in that the system is rigged somehow.
Can you assure people that the Obama Justice Department was not protecting Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Here's another like detour in the, I mean, like, how did we get here? We probably are not here. You could make the argument that Donald Trump is not president today were it not for, wait for it, Anthony Weiner.
2 weeks and a day before the final votes, our new tracking poll shows a 12-point lead for Hillary Clinton, her biggest yet.
At this point in time, she has almost wrapped this race up.
Until the October surprise she never saw coming. While working a separate case against Anthony Weiner, the husband of one of Clinton's top aides, FBI agents find hundreds of thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails on Weiner's laptop, but kept that information secret for weeks.
And then the question for me now is, so what do we do now?
So in the final days of the election, Comey sends a letter informing Congress he is reopening the Clinton investigation. Congress tells the world.
Secretary Clinton, any reaction to Director Comey reopening his investigation into your emails?
This is the biggest political scandal since Watergate.
Comey says he had no choice.
So think about that. If you believe that Donald Trump is president because the Clinton campaign collapsed, and the Clinton campaign collapsed because of the email scandal and the lingering doubt about it, why did we know or think about that? It was because Anthony Weiner, who is connected to Uma Abedin, who's connected to Hillary Clinton, had crazy stuff on his social media, on his devices. If it's not for Anthony Weiner, then all of those things don't click together. At least that's one way to look at that.
Yeah, but you can still put it on Comey, too, because there was Justice Department protocol that in the, you know, short days before the election, you just didn't make statements that would impact the voting.
Unprecedented.
You just don't do it.
Unprecedented.
And going back to that summer news conference,
yeah,
he at other times argues that he is absolutely apolitical. He doesn't vote, right?
Yeah.
So why is he using a political calculation to decide whether or not or how to clear Hillary Clinton?
He said,
if he doesn't do politics, he should have just issued that statement.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. You know, he's got a lot of decision points along the way here. And he keeps thinking that he's doing what he must do to preserve the integrity of the Justice Department and the FBI.
And all of this, what's to me the most remarkable thing is all of this stuff, still the Donald Trump is able to convince people that Comey was working against him.
Yeah, no kidding. When, in fact, he's getting him elected. Now, remember, at the very end, he tries to clear Hillary, and Donald Trump will smear him for that. He figures, I'm screwed either way. In fact, that's a line that I'll get to in just a second. But there's another point about that, Steve, and that is there a double standard here? We have something that we're not sure about with Hillary Clinton and turns out to be a dead end, but we'll go ahead and announce that we're looking into it. At the same time, they're looking into PP tapes and crazy stuff
right.
about interference with Trump's campaign and the Russians, but they don't tell us that.
Right. I mean, it's just...
So is it a double standard?
Well, your critics say this is a clear, clear, clear double standard. You revealed information about Hillary Clinton. You concealed information about Donald Trump. That elected Donald Trump.
Take a step back and stare at the two cases and the posture they were in. The Hillary Clinton email case was public, and the counterintelligence investigations trying to figure out whether a small group of people, not Donald Trump, we were not investigating Donald Trump, whether this small group of Americans was coordinating anything with the Russians. We had just started the investigation, didn't know whether we had anything.
So he's got an answer for them all. You know, it's apples and oranges, he said. But I don't know that everybody's going to buy that. I just got the book today, and I'm anxious to read it. A couple more sound bites from that in just a second.
If you knew that letter would elect Donald Trump, you'd still send it?
I would. Down that path lies the death of the FBI as an independent force in American life. If I ever start considering whose political fortunes will be affected by a decision, we're done.
Okay, see, here's the point, Steve. He's not saying I made those decisions because I was betting on one of the horses. I was betting on the integrity or trying to preserve the integrity of the FBI. So he was making...
So you're saying that then explains away the news conference in July.
That's why he made all of those quote-unquote political statements, all of those judgments, telling us about, well, we don't know about Hillary stuff, but right before the election, we believe they handled email recklessly, and we need... and I guess we need to know that. No crime, but we just thought you should know. Lordy, that's a political statement just before the election. Why did he do it? Not because he wanted Hillary to win, although they all voted for Hillary, those of them in his family who voted, but because he thought he had to preserve the integrity of the FBI. And then there's this meeting where Trump asks for loyalty. Oh, Lordy, this is juicy.
He said, I expect loyalty, I need loyalty. And I just stared at him and... I had this little narrative with myself inside saying, don't you move, don't you dare move, don't even blink.
Why not say no?
I think because I was caught totally by surprise. I couldn't think of a clever response. By the second time he came back to it, I had my wits about me and had a better answer.
What was the second time?
He said again, I need loyalty. And I said, you will always get honesty from me. And then he said, honest loyalty, as if he was proposing some compromise or a deal. And I paused and said, you'll get that from me.
Did you cross a line when you promised him honest loyalty? Would it be fair for him to think, wait, I have a deal here?
I don't think so.
I do. It's amazing to me, if you're 6'8" tall, you've enjoyed nothing but success in your life. You're the director of the FB flippin' I. You don't have much respect for this putz who's sitting there next to you. Why are you so intimidated? You could have looked him right square in the puss and you could have said, no, you don't have my loyalty. You do not have my loyalty. What's he going to do? Throw a salad fork at him? Come on. Pick up a shrimp scampi? He can do that. I do not know why Mueller, Comey twice in that meeting failed to just do the obvious and simple thing. I know a lot of us look back where a lot of us are driving home from meetings with the boss or dates or days at work or conversations with our kids, and we are so much better on the ride home. But he had a couple of shots there. To me, I would have relished the opportunity to tell Donald Trump, no, that's not how it works, sir. All right. That was the Stephanopoulos interview with James Comey last night. Maybe we'll get to a couple more cuts. Also, Patty Vasquez visits with us now and again, and she's going to pop by a little after 2 o'clock. We'll talk about the Starbucks controversy today. And do you think, speaking of President Trump, that he is going to pardon Rod Blagojevich? Let's go around the horn. Bertrand, will Trump pardon Blago? Go.
No.
Violetta, go.
Maybe.
Kevin Powell, will the president pardon the former governor?
Yes.
I think there's a 58% chance he will not, but a 42% chance he will. I think he's this close. Elif, will he do it?
No.
John, more information now on this revelation of Sean Hannity in the courtroom. Apparently, again, they're in court trying to argue about whether or not evidence seized in Michael Cohen's residence and office can be used. And Cohen's lawyer told the judge that this third client did not want to be identified because he was in the public eye. The lawyer then said, I'll put it in an envelope and give it to you.
This is the way these guys do. And his name is going to be Tom Patterson. But on a separate sheet of paper, I'm going to give you another sheet of paper. It says Tom Patterson equals Sean Hannity.
So the judge offered to do that, to put it, or not the judge, the lawyer said, let me put his name in an envelope. I'll give it to you. You can see it. But the client doesn't want to be identified.
Okay.
There also is an attorney there representing media interests who immediately objected and said there is great interest in this story and that that he shouldn't be exempted. The judge, Kimba Wood, said, quote, I understand he doesn't want his name out there, but that isn't the law. That's when the name apparently was read. And according to a Reuters reporter there, Bloomberg, I should say there, a gasp was heard in the courtroom when a Cohen lawyer disclosed the name of the third client, Sean Hannity.
Oh, but I mean, what's the point?
It's really not over.
Okay.
Hannity now has talked to the Wall Street Journal, and his statement is, quote, "We have been friends a long time. I have sought legal advice from Michael."
There you go. That's, well, I mean, really, so I'm not sure why Sean Hannity wants that information kept private.
Well, I think the judge said no one wants to be involved in this case.
Yeah, but I mean,
which is perfectly understandable.
Maybe with the, why? Because they, Sean Hannity is Donald Trump's biggest supporter. They lunch and have dinners together. They hang out on weekends. They are pals.
Cohen's there because of paying off a porn star in part.
Yeah, but that doesn't connect.
Who's
Sean
outside, by the way?
Yeah, I know. But Sean, the fact, suppose your attorney, your accountant is involved in some crime, and then we find out that you're also a client of that attorney or that accountant. That doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. There's no connection of Sean Hannity to, say, the payment from...
Okay, if you had an agent who was spending clients' money illegally, which happens from time to time in the city, and the client list came out, you wouldn't want your name on that list if you could keep it off.
I mean, maybe, fair enough. But I mean, and so the judge is saying, well, I might not like that, and you might not like that, Sean Hannity.
The law doesn't protect you from that. We're in a legal proceeding, and it comes out.
Yeah, all right. So, Sean, okay, but then I think then we all need to put that in a lockbox and keep it there. That was my Al Gore. We need to then remember that that goes in that slot, and this is in this slot, and they ain't connected yet.
Right.
Different keys.
We have to wait and find out more of him, just as we would if the third client was Sister Jean.
Exactly.
We don't
jump to conclusions. So if I'm Sean Hannity, I'm like, I go to Michael Cohen. I go, listen, who do we really like? Like, did you ever represent the Pope or, I don't know, somebody who's good?
Can you get me a maroon and gold scarf?
Ellen, Sister Jean, anybody that America would go, oh, well, they're a nice person, so maybe it's not so bad
but,
for you.
I mean, but I'm serious in that, too.
I am, too.
We don't know anything about what he represented, but just... But if you have the president's biggest defender also secretly being, well, not even secretly, no one's clients are known. But
No, but you're right. I mean, so finish that point, Steve, that if you have
derailed myself
the president's
through,
biggest defender, Sean Hannity, being represented by the same person that is representing the president.
In his,
or
in
making
his most salacious sorts of cases.
Hush money payoffs. What do we need to do about that? We need to be the adults in the room and remember that those things are not connected. And by the way,
no. Remember that we don't know that they're connected.
What did I just say?
Well,
I said that they're not connected.
Right. We can't assume that they are connected. He only represented three people.
Really? He only had three total clients
in this period. Apparently, that's what they're saying. The third client.
Boy, that's well.
They take a lot of your attention.
Well, but you know, if I only had three clients. And one of them, Sean Hannity, says, I've used him for legal advice once in a while. I don't know that you're paying him a lot of money. What does Sean Hannity need Michael Cohen for? If the other one is Donald Trump, and you had to mortgage your house to pay hush money to a woman who said she had a relationship with him, you need more clients. I mean, you've got bills to pay.
So the three clients are the president,
yeah,
who we're assuming was the Stormy Daniels thing, Elliot Broidy, who was the... Republican fundraiser who's
having a bad week.
Who paid off a woman, a playmate, I think after she'd become pregnant,
a
right?
A Playboy Playmate of the Year.
Okay.
She got pregnant with him. He then said, I will pay...
$1.6 million.
And I believe the notion was that that would be for her and the child. She elected not to have that child. She was supposed to get the money in quarterly installments over a couple of years. I don't know if she got all of the money or not.
And then the third client is Sean Hannity. So you can see if you're Hannity, you don't want to be...
Or if you're Michael Cohen, you need more clients. I mean, just... Do some accident, just, you know, what are those guys on TV? Or if, like, have you been in a serious bender?
Put some billboards
up on 294. I'm Michael Cohen,
please. Right.
Call me. Trust me, I need the work.
I mean...
It seems like he specializes, though, in a particular...
That's not his niche. I get you that. Yeah, he's more crazy cases. So then, who's at the courthouse on the same day? Hannity wasn't there, but Cohen was, Stormy Daniels was.
Well, Cohen is there, and lawyers for Cohen and lawyers for the president are there,
yeah,
because they're arguing, look, the Cohen is the president's private attorney. There should be attorney-client privilege here. Now, there is process for going through this evidence and to see which applies for attorney-client and which doesn't. And it seems as if, I mean, the experts I've seen seem to think that, you know, this would be allowed.
Well,
so they're in the courtroom. Apparently, there are also our attorneys representing media interests and in the right to know interest. They're being heard. Outside is Stormy Daniels, who news accounts are describing what she's wearing and that she almost fell outside, slipped on the slippery street and all of that. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff.
Yeah, I know. Where's Elvis and the Easter Bunny when you need him?
Richard Nixon is having Starbucks made for him.
The president said that attorney-client privilege is now dead in America. Lawyers everywhere are concerned, exclamation point, because they're just going to storm into your home, your kitchen, your office, and they're going to steal your computers and laptops and anything that's personal to you. I don't know much about this, but my understanding is that the judge has to sign off on that. You can't just go off half-cocked without getting a judge to agree that there is evidence of a crime that has taken place, and that's why you get to do this.
Well, and that was to get the warrant. There are several hoops to go through to get a warrant approved, and then once the evidence is seized, it's my understanding there also are processes to protect that privilege. It's not complete and automatic.
Well, should the president be able to see what they seized on Michael Cohen's server, say?
I wouldn't think so.
Why not? I mean, if you're going to make a case against me, I would imagine you have to share that with me.
So Cohen might be entitled to it. But again, let's imagine your manager is in court. You're not entitled to see all your manager's records.
Yeah, I guess not.
And you can't start making your defense until the information actually becomes available.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you can't.
Well, if he's charged with something, then it would be part of discovery. No. They could say, here's the evidence we have. But just because they've gathered it, they're under no obligation to share it with people.
Here's an interesting word, before. That's the word that would confuse me in the reporting of this. They said the president or his attorney wants to see the information from Cohen before the prosecutors.
Right.
And I don't know if they meant displayed in front of them before or in advance of. He wants to see it literally before they get a chance to see it.
They wanted to go through and see. Well,
equal access.
Don't want you to have this. Don't want you to have that.
Oh, really? They really want to see it before they do?
That's the way I understood it.
What's the point of the raid, then, if we're going to run it by the aggrieved parties here? That's not how it works.
And it's almost like so you can see how you want to lie. Like, well, wait, where'd you go last night? I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, let's get our ducks in a row.
Where'd you go last night?
I know. I want to make sure I have my story consistent with what's on your phone, your computer, all of that stuff. It's 2:18, and that concludes the news here on WGN. Hi, I'm John Williams. Did you watch Saturday Night Live, by the way? Let's just skip to that, shall we, Ms. Garris? John Mulaney, the best. John Mulaney, he's from these parts. He went to St. Ignatius, if I'm not mistaken. He is a St. Ignatius high school grad.
If that texter we were talking to this weekend can be believed.
So he's hosting Saturday Night Live.
I don't like any new songs. I don't like any new songs. Because every new song is about how tonight is the night. And how we only have tonight. That's the message in 90% of songs. That's such 19-year-old garbage. I want to write songs for people in their 30s called Tonight's No Good, How About Wednesday? Oh, you're in Houston on Wednesday? Oh, okay. Well, then let's just not see each other for 6 months, and it doesn't matter at all. Tonight's
the night. Well, put John Mulaney. It's 2:19 on WGN. This is John Williams. Patty Vasquez is going to say hi to us in a little bit from pretty late on WGN. She's pretty late getting to WGN.
Why, there she is now. Patty's in the house.
I want to talk about that Starbucks story.
Come on, angel. My heart's on fire.
And the more I think about it, the more I think the president will pardon former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Nice to see you, Patty. How are you?
I'm well.
So I'm sorry you had to suffer through the traffic. Everybody else is too.
No, I'm sorry that I was late and didn't plan better. You should always leave assuming it's going to suck out there. That should be the Chicago motto.
Well,
assuming it's going
to
suck in
what
traffic.
What was the drive time? How long did it take you to get from where to where?
It should only take me half an hour, even with traffic at a time like this. It took me about an hour 10.
From the western suburbs? No, northwest.
From the northwest side.
Yeah.
Up by O'Hare. Violetta just said it was like an hour 5 from the O'Hare, right?
This morning it was 355 to downtown today. I was listening to Mary, and I think she had the Stevenson at an hour and 20. And I thought, that's a winter, that's a bad winter drive time. It could be worse, but yes. I mean.
Well, that's the other thing, too. With flurries, it throws you off. You start thinking, oh, I got to start doing my Christmas shopping.
Patty Vasquez is on pretty late on WGN Radio. That's what she calls her show. It's on weeknights, 11 to 2, with the White Sox game. By the way, here's the White Sox forecast. So they said, all right, we're out of here. We're leaving Minnesota, where they have this stupid open-air stadium, and there's a foot of snow on the ground, really. So they fly out to Oakland. Here's the forecast for Oakland. Today, high near 55, showers and thunderstorms with possible hail.
So I should be on standby. There's no reason for me to necessarily assume that the Sox will play.
Tonight it does say partly cloudy, mm-hmm. meaning maybe it'll clear up. But tonight's low for the Sox, like 43.
No.
43 degrees is the Oakland overnight low tonight.
How do you fix? I mean, we can't start in May. You can't delay the baseball season.
I think it's a scheduling issue. Oakland, I would have bet, would have been a safe place to play, but evidently not. So have you been following the Starbucks story?
Yes.
A couple guys in Philadelphia, a couple of black men go into a Starbucks. They ask to get to use the restroom. They have not ordered coffee yet. You got to get a code to use the restroom. And they wouldn't give them the code because they said, you haven't ordered coffee. It's only for customers. So then they sat down and waited for a guy, and they called the cops on him.
Well, I think that they had asked them to leave, too. Had they asked them to leave? I believe that might be part of it.
Why would you ask them to leave?
I know. Well, here's what's making me crazy, and I think a lot of people who follow us on social media, is that people of color, every time they see someone say, well, there must be more to the story, that's always the rest of it, right? There must be more to the story. Only how many of us have said, hey, I'll meet you at the Starbucks. Maybe you want to wait till they order or decide what you're going to do once they get there, and you haven't ordered anything. And nobody, I have never been asked to leave a Starbucks or any other place of business while I was waiting for someone.
And I don't exactly understand. I know Starbucks, it's their business. They get to do what they want. And maybe they don't want you using that as a free private office space, right? Or meeting space. But Starbucks, are you new?
That horse has gone around the world because he's out of the barn and he's not coming back.
You guys haven't been enforcing that hidden rule for a long time. And these two guys were pretty chill. They looked reasonable. They weren't scary people, white, blue, or otherwise. They were two tall black guys who were sitting there just sitting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, John, there must be more to the story. I'm sure they were causing trouble. I don't know why that's the voice I hear in my head when I
know.
John,
who are you doing?
Come on, John. You know it's more than that.
It's 2:29. We'll pick the story up in a couple of minutes. You may have something to say about this, too. Just because we're following the weather, of course, in baseball and how it's affecting the game. LF, do you have what's the forecast for Oakland?
High near 55. Showers. Possibly a thunderstorm. Possible hail.
It's unbelievable.
So good.
You know what? Who was it? I think one of the teams is flying to Puerto Rico. Are the Twins
to
Kevin,
get away?
Kevin, no. I think they are. Kevin, didn't one of the teams going south? You're not sure.
You don't have him up on the board.
No, I do. I do. Oh. He's electing not to talk to us. Mm-hmm. But I think the Twins.
Is it like a mental health holiday or?
Brenda used to every now and then. The boys could sell that to their mother.
Mental health holiday?
Yeah.
Kevin, is there a baseball team going to Puerto Rico?
I'll look into that for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard that. Well, my estimated probability of accuracy on that, 64%. 64%.
Indians and Twins.
Indians and Twins. And where are they playing?
In Puerto Rico.
Thank you.
Lay off, man.
Is Steve Bertrand wearing a ski sweater?
He is.
It's my Iceland sweater. I'm going to wear it until it's...
I have a sweater that I bought in Ireland for inclement weather.
I love that. You guys are committing to winter coming back.
I thought you were going to see Santa after this.
Yeah. It's not winter coming back. It's winter
That's
not
true.
Leaving.
Hold on.
It left for a day.
Kevin, is that Twins Tilt in Puerto Rico, was that originally scheduled for Puerto Rico, or are they using that as safe harbor?
It's in San Juan, John. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz on the Twins tribe matchup
Wait
in Puerto
a minute,
Rico.
You don't follow the location of Cleveland Indians baseball games?
I do normally, but I hadn't seen this yet. It'll be two games at historic Hiram Bithorn Stadium in San Juan, John.
I've been there before, actually. I took some listeners there years and years ago. And it's
for the Expos.
It's not what we're used to. The Expos played the Cubs down there.
So next year they're going to start the first two series at the equator, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Around the world.
With some games in Australia. Mm-hmm. It'll be a long commute, but the weather's promising. It's 2:40 on WGN. We asked Patty to come in from pretty late.
I think I asked you if I could come in every once in a while.
And we said
and
yes.
You were very obliging, and I appreciate it.
I'm sorry that I didn't think of it myself, because I enjoy your company, and I sure like your show. What are you tonight after the White Sox
the
game?
The one hour we have?
Well, or the 3 hours, because maybe the Sox are going to play.
I need to reschedule my guests and tell them to be on standby. It's Motivational Monday. We have a jiu-jitsu expert who comes in and talks about it. She just started competing, or actually training in jiu-jitsu 5 years ago, and has become a medal winner. And she has a lot of great insight on how to commit to yourself, make time for yourself, to get the things done that you want to accomplish.
Does she do that every Monday night with you?
Every other Monday, and then in the middle Mondays is Dr. Daphne Scott, who is a leadership expert, also a motivational expert.
Hmm. So what do I get when I... So she's not so much giving me training on jiu-jitsu as sort of life coaching?
Yes. And I think a lot of it has to do with letting yourself off the hook. You know, once you get into this rut of like, I'm not where I want to be in life, it sort of compounds and you continue to like stay in that rut, where it's like you let yourself off the hook and think, you know, it's not about what I have or haven't done. It's about what I'm going to do, and sort of recommitting to yourself.
I wonder what that means. I wonder what people are supposed to do.
Well, part of it is making time for yourself. If there's a goal you have, if you want to write a book, you know, make sure that you're writing half an hour a day. Or, if there's something that you want to do that you've always thought you wanted to do, or a place in your life you want to be, what are you doing to make that happen?
I think the hardest part for people, because I've heard that now that you mention it, and my wife and I and friends, we talk about that, because it seems like we're always doing something for somebody else.
Right.
I think a lot of us harbor frustration, rightly or otherwise, because we don't feel like we've made time for ourselves. The problem is if we do. Like every now and then I know some people who I think are quite self-actualized or self-centered. And I say, we need to be more like that person. But if we did, we would feel guilty or bad about it because we weren't committing to our kids or our job or the dog or whatever else distracts us.
Right, and figure out what that means.
That's the hard part.
Right, and it's not necessarily like making lists of like, these are the important people and this is where I fall in the sort of scheme of things. But otherwise, you don't want to get to a place in your life where you continue to think, oh, I coulda, shoulda, woulda, or blame other people if it hadn't been for so-and-so.
That's a nice point, right? Because it's like someday you're going to look back and wish that you had. What's the worst that could happen that maybe somebody else is a little inconvenienced because you put you first?
Right. And I think about this, too. I mean, I made a choice early in my career I was supposed to move to Los Angeles in 2000. I had a manager in comedy. And my father was diagnosed with lung cancer. And I made a commitment that I would stay here for my mom, for my dad, and raise a family here. And, and I think, what if I had? What if I had just done something else? And you have to go, okay, this is the person I am now because of those choices. And that's okay. But if I want to be that comic or that writer or that actress, I still have to do that.
I have to do it here now.
Yeah.
It's 2:43. That's tonight after the White Sox game.
Yes, depending on whenever that happens.
They take on Oakland in Oakland, California, where the weather ain't going to be good.
And I'm sure we will also talk about the Starbucks, because I have attorney comedian Paul Farvar on the show. So we'll talk about, because is that trespassing? I think that the manager who called the police officer said
that's what they charge him with.
So if you have a public business, I mean, I don't know what the laws are you can be in a public business, but unless you purchase something, because I know in Chicago, didn't they change the laws where people can use public bathrooms even if they're not making a purchase?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I thought they had changed that.
Do you guys know if that's the case? Violetta, Steve, do you guys know that you can use the bathroom?
I think you're not allowed to tell someone they can't use the bathroom.
Right. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
There's signs everywhere saying
only customers. Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's
that's in violation of the law, technically?
That's what I believe.
When I was a kid, there's a Walgreens, and there used to be a Burger King across the street. The Walgreens would not let her use the bathroom, so she had to cross the street and end up getting hit by a car. And I remember there was a big push at that time to not deny people use of the public
What do you think of that?
Bathroom.
What should the law be? You tell a business now, you've got people who maybe are doing drugs, maybe they're homeless people who are sullying your place. And because you work in Chicago, you've got to be the public restroom for somebody who never gives you a dime.
And the worst is when we have these big, the Taste of Chicago or the fireworks, and a lot of restaurants will have signs up that say you cannot use our bathrooms.
But in a way, it's just, unless you absolutely don't have a dollar. I mean, you could go in and order a French fries. You get the smallest coffee. You need a few bucks. That's the price you pay to use the bathroom.
Right.
These guys. Listen, here's a text from one of our listeners, and I'm sort of glad that somebody brought this up. And again, if you just joined us, here's just a summary of it from CNN. The timing of the meeting has not been set, according to a Starbucks spokesperson. This is out of Philadelphia, where at a Starbucks, a store manager called the police. because two men were sitting in the restaurant, in the Starbucks, they call it a store here, without placing an order. They were arrested for trespassing. Customers said they, the two men, were waiting for another man to arrive. That person arrived at the store as they were, in fact, being arrested. So they did have a legitimate meeting showing somebody was going to show up.
How mad are you at your friend for being late, by the way? See, this is why you should always be on time. Otherwise, your friends might be arrested.
These guys looked not homeless. They looked couple good-looking guys. They had on sort of active casual wear, though weren't exactly sweatpants, but it wasn't a suit. But whatever, they looked reasonable. But they didn't order anything, and they did ask to use the restroom. And my understanding is they were denied the access code. They weren't able to. I don't understand that they made a ruckus. They then sat down and for some reason were asked to leave, and I'm not sure why. The police show up. They got the, like six or seven cops in the video.
Wow.
I don't know if this will help. Go ahead and play what audio we have here, Elif. This is actually from the scene, and you'll hear someone off camera say, don't get into a fight with him. Do you have that audio, Elif? You can play it if you like.
Don't get into a fight with him. Don't get into a fight with him.
And then the officer right. says, are you serious? Somebody says, yeah, I mean it. This is ridiculous. One of the customers says, why did the cops get called? Because they're two black guys sitting and meeting. The officer said, yep, that's it.
Oh.
A witness says, well, what did they do? What did they do? Someone tell me, what did they do? Another witness says, they didn't do anything. I saw the whole thing. They asked to use the bathroom. And a woman says, paying customers only. They didn't do anything. So this is the audio that's captured the people in the store sticking up for these guys. But the text says this. This is a non-story, John, until all of the details are out. But it's racism baiting. This whole thing seems planned. We don't know the history of this store, these guys, but it looks like this was a setup.
There's more. I told you, John, there's more to this story. Just wait till it all unfolds.
To get these guys arrested, and then we'll videotape it, and then we make corporate America or Starbucks. And Starbucks should not be the target for this, because Starbucks has been very affirmative action. They've been very, you know.
Well, that's a deep dive. Someone thinks that they set it up, that they lured Starbucks into.
It's all so cooperative and chill that it looks set up.
Well, is it cooperative and chill because black men and women have, you know, they're teaching their kids that when police tell you to do something, to follow the directions, because oftentimes it ends badly for black people.
The amount of video you see.
Not often. I don't want people to get upset. Sometimes.
You and I are dealing with limited information, and we're all victims of what we know. And what you see is two guys who are not putting up a fuss.
Right.
And that's why I think people think.
It's a silent protest kind of a thing?
This is staged. It's like, okay, I'll go get arrested and then we'll bust Starbucks. But I still don't know why the Starbucks.
I don't think it would be that hard to find out more information about these gentlemen and find out if they have on their Facebook pages or if they've done things like this before.
Okay, but what
or
if it's,
they've
what if it is a setup? What if it is a setup to get Starbucks to throw them out? It still doesn't explain why Starbucks threw them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If things are exactly the way you said, that the customers, you know, reported that they hadn't done anything, all they had done was ask to use a bathroom,
yeah.
Then already the policy is questionable.
Unless they were cussing or doing something violent or, you know, disruptive, mm-hmm. they should be able to stay.
There was another story about an Old Navy. This guy walked into an Old Navy. He was wearing a jacket he had bought from Old Navy, and they demanded to see the receipt for the jacket he had bought. And that's
because
on video,
because it looked
too.
Like maybe he lifted it and
yes.
was wearing
and
it.
And he's like, why would I wear it? He goes, where are the cameras? You can see that I walked into the store, another young black man, who, and they demanded he take off his coat and show that he had purchased it previously.
So people are now walking into Starbucks. These videos are popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same one. And they're saying, okay, can I use the bathroom? And they're videotaping the people there and cataloging how people get treated. And it's very super aggressive and it's annoying. And I wish people wouldn't do that, using your phone as a weapon, as a viral way to shame or embarrass or, you know, to what end, we don't know.
I know. Or, you know, at this point now, I'd be aware of the fact that you are always on camera, whether it's somebody's phone or street security, cameras in places of business.
Right, Jim, but it also comes down to the employee or themselves. Like, Starbucks is being held responsible for this particular employee.
And that location, right. Not all Starbucks are hopefully doing that.
Well, so the CEO of Starbucks says that the staff there will get more, and I've never heard this kind of training. Maybe I have. Training on unconscious bias.
Mm-hmm.
training on unconscious bias. I guess that means you don't see color, right?
Right.
Your bias should be unconscious, not conscious.
Well, be aware that you are making choices or behaving in ways that you don't realize are based on assumptions of people of color or the way someone's dressed or their age.
Jim, what did you want to say? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I guess it's their right to tell people to leave. They're not ordering stuff. They're taking up space. It's a place of business. I think it...
Absolutely, they have the right.
Stupid. I think it's wrong. It doesn't sound like the police were aggressive at all. It was like they didn't know what the heck they were there
for. The whole
for.
Thing yeah. was a slow dance. They go, are you the guys? They go, yeah, we're the guys. They go, okay, well, let's walk out. They go, okay, here we go. We're getting arrested. But, I mean, literally, the guys are getting handcuffed in the restaurant with their hands behind their back. If that was
well, that's
me,
probably procedure though.
I don't know. They could have walked him out of the store. Said, "Would you guys please leave now?" Okay, we'll leave. And then they could have walked.
If they're filing
him.
A complaint, if they're filing a complaint, they get arrested.
I'll bet you there was a guy who was in there. He looked like me. He's a white guy in his late 50s. He's got glasses on. He looks like an attorney. He said, "I don't get handcuffed. If this is me in that restaurant, I'm not getting handcuffed and walked out of a Starbucks." You believe that, don't you, Jim?
I probably believe that, but if they're saying they want to file a complaint and they want them arrested, then I would imagine you're going to handcuff anybody you're going to take under arrest. Normally, you'd think that once they left, hey, they're gone. I think the whole thing, it's a setup, but it's stupid.
It is a terrible moment, a stupid moment when you decide you have to call in the police department. I mean, in any place that you're calling the cops on two guys because they won't order coffee. Is this really how we're using our resources?
Well, but they're not listening to leave when you ask them to leave.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
But they're not yelling or causing
okay,
a scene.
But Violetta, Patty, if you are those black guys, like we can do that. We can't imagine. But if you're one of those black guys and you think that actually the white attorney doesn't get arrested here, I'm a young black man. If I just walk out, this problem goes away. But maybe now, do you get a little defensive? You go, actually, no. I would rather get arrested right now than walk out peacefully because Patty Vasquez and John Williams and Violetta Padromedic would not be arrested. So now, where you were just sitting there waiting for your friend, you've now like staked out some ground. I suspect there's plenty of people of color who think, actually, that's where I'll draw the line. In a heartbeat, I will draw the line right here, right now.
Right, that I'm just standing here. I haven't done anything. Yeah. I told you I'm meeting my friend.
I didn't come here for civil disobedience. I came here for coffee.
And people spend hours and hours and hours at Starbucks, whether they've had one cup of coffee. And some people, maybe they didn't. They're not. I never see a barista going around table to table and saying, have you ordered something? Did
I
you
know.
Order something?
Can I see some identification?
I didn't see you order anything.
In my ear, I just heard the word break. Ro and Ann are coming in a second.
So I'll leave. I'm out of here.
Patty, it's always good to see you. So you're going to talk jiu-jitsu tonight.
We're going to talk about Motivational Monday. We're talking about how to get restart if you're, falling behind on your goals, how to recommit to yourself.
By the way, here is the Illinois law about who gets to use a bathroom.
Can I use your bathroom? Do you mind if I use your bathroom?
If you meet those four requirements, you should talk about that tonight on the radio, too.
I will talk about this as well.
The Access Act.
It's funny because it's very complicated, and I'm out of time. You talk about it tonight.
I will do
that. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Plus, I might have the whole 3 hours if it's bad weather in Oakland.
Patty Vasquez is on pretty late on WGN Radio. That'd be after the White Sox game tonight.
Thank you.
Hi, Anna DeVonsis.
Hi there, John.
Hello, John Williams. Well, we have a lot. Oh, it's
late
just
breaking developments.
Something to be a talk show host in the year 2018.
That's what
it really is.
You're talking about the courthouse scene today?
Yes, the courthouse scene. And now we'll take you actually to some of that. Brad Garrett, ABC News analyst, former FBI agent, will be talking about what it was that they had. What do they possibly have here on Michael Cohen?
The Mueller investigation because they seized his stuff?
Well, it may be a separate investigation that was led by the Southern District of New York.
Oh.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York. So that's where all this is taking place. And Kimba Wood is the judge here. I'm surprised that people are forgetting who Kimba Wood is.
Kimba Wood played for the Lakers.
No, that was Kobe Bryant. This is Kimba Wood. During the Clinton administration, she was one of the people of Nannygate who was up to be attorney general.
I knew her name from somewhere.
So what does that mean relative to this?
I'm just surprised that Trump hasn't tried to use that as a way to dirty her up. Because remember, one of the reasons that the Clinton team passed on her was that she spent 5 days in training as a Playboy bunny at the London Playboy Casino and
Seriously?
Hotel. Yeah, yeah.
Kimber Wood?
Yep.
Oh, well, this is, it's just,
you guys can't remember anything.
Well, I saw that name and I was like, wait a minute. But then I heard the word Hannity after that and I thought, well, I need, what?
Oh, and happened.
I needed to remember Kimba Wood for all of that. I mean, really? That needs to be on my.
Wait, it takes 5 days to become a bunny?
Right. These are things you learn. Anyway, but Kimba Wood is a really, really well respected jurist. I mean, they wanted her to be the attorney general.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she was really highly qualified, amazing judge, but I'm just sort of surprised that Trump hasn't seized on this because she had the glare of In Touch magazine going after her in 1993. You know?
Well, wait for it. We'll see if the tweet arrives.
It's only Monday, Ro. Yeah. Maybe that will yet turn that way.
But anyway, so we'll get to all of that. But then also we're going to spend a little time remembering a really essential figure in the history of the Ro Khan show, and it's many iterations. Mm. Arlie Ermey, who had been a big part of this show for many years. And he passed away yesterday at the age of 74. And we will have I make it into his Wikipedia page for worse as opposed to for better.
No
but,
kidding.
But oh. it's it is a but he is it was a very, very dear friend and oh. a very, very close member of the people who are longtime listeners of this program, you know, will know.
He How came, old?
74.
Known best for
Full Metal Jacket as Gunnery Sergeant mm-hmm. Hardman.
Mm-hmm. I walked by production today, and one of our Catherine has Full Metal Jacket on really loud, and she's just standing there transfixed by the screen.
Yeah,
I walk in and go, "What are you doing?" And then we watch the whole scene where he undresses. You know, he's yelling at all of
the opening
crew.
Classic.
Yes. I don't remember that. I don't think I've watched that whole movie. Oh my God, is that awesome!
I have the story of I'll tell the story of how that affected me when I first saw it, and then I get to not only meet him but work with him and be a business partner and things with him. He, a really, really, really special guy.
I'll get out of the way. Have a good
All
show.
Right. It's coming your way in the 4 o'clock hour.